You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Republicans lose their nonpartisan conservative judge in the Wisconsin travesty of an election results. It's a big win, folks. Big win. Meanwhile, Northeast and West Coast governors form coastal alliances as Trump declares he has all the power. And surprise, surprise, a tax change in phase three almost exclusively benefits people who make $1 million plus on an annualized basis. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, in a live Zoom call, endorses Joe Biden, establishes a joint or a series of joint working committees. Democrats are eyeing, or at the very least pretending to eye, voting protections in phase four and a super, super expensive plan to keep people insured. New polls show 33% of voters have either lost jobs, lost hours, or been put on leave. And growing shutdowns may cause a meat shortage in the U.S., in addition to an extraordinary amount of food waste. DeSantis in Florida deems pro wrestling an essential service. And the South Dakota's governor's resistance to stay-at-home orders leads to an outbreak. Meanwhile, the ACLU files an order versus a federal prison in Louisiana, where six people died of corona. All this and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just do this. Did that work? I don't know if that did. How come I can't hear anything? That's not good. Well, hopefully that worked. Okay. I was trying to call into the call system, and I guess I did. I don't know why I didn't hear anything. That's a bad sign. Oh, I know why. There we go. It's just one of the 47 things that I've got to deal with in terms of audio that drive me crazy. But first off, that reminds me, I want to thank, I don't know what is going on with this program, but we may have either seriously undercounted the number of people who listen to this show, or we just have an astonishing per capita number of listeners who are sound engineers. Because yesterday, I think it was just in the fun half. I think, right, Matt? Wasn't it just like in the fun half? Just in the beginning of the fun half, I mentioned, and I'm having the problem right now. I don't know if you can hear it. Can you hear like a low grade hum, Matt? Okay. It's in like, I've got two different systems going on here, and I should make it clear that nobody associated with this show knows anything about any of this stuff. And it's literally just sort of like, I've got this wire and it fits into that thing, and I keep plugging it into different holes. And if one works, then I know that I've done it correctly. So I don't know the difference between unbalanced or balanced cords or shielded cords or any of that stuff. And so I've got this problem when I use the output of my second computer, which is how I call the call system and also record stuff. When I engage it, I get this hum that comes back on me. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I got literally 40 emails from sound engineers on how to fix it. I will say that so far, none of the solutions worked. I mean, I got it into a different electrical circuit, and that may have cut down on some of it, but I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going through a Mac Mini into, and I've got two different, I don't even know what do you call like an Onyx Blackjack? What is it? It's a USB recording interface. I've got two different versions. I've got one that has RCA plugs and then one that has a quarter inch plugs, because the quarter inch plug versions, like the Onyx or that, that Focusrite, they don't play with Skype for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's very complicated and I don't like any of it. I'm done with all of it. but I want to thank everybody who responded. Much appreciated. Also, I want to tell you folks that this program relies on your support. And if you can become a member, please do so at jointhemajorityreport.com. For all those people who have emailed and asked for help with a membership, oh, I will get there for you. Just a little more house cleaning. Bear with me, and then we'll get into this. We have the app is up and running. Many of you received a notice today that we were going live at noon. If you want to pick up the app at majorityapp.com, it's free iOS and Android. You can set up notifications. We're only going to use it when we're going live. So we won't harass you with any of that stuff. So you just set your notifications. You know how to do that. I mean, it's not the first time you've got a notification on your app, and that's it. Deal with that. And I will get to plugs and notices at the end of this this show. Let's start with this, because there is a dynamic that is forming here that's been coming for a while. And the governors of, and we will get to the Bernie endorsing Biden, and we will talk more about the judge in Wisconsin in a moment. But this is when you're looking towards the future in terms of like what will be the next sort of weird, bizarre, I don't want to say post-apocalyptic, but you know, there's this sort of like, what would you call this, Matt? What's the word I'm looking for? It escapes me at the moment.
Dystopic.
Yes. We're in sort of like a dystopic, right? Like, I mean, like this sort of feels like a movie, right? Where, you know, you see people walking around with masks and, you know, you don't want to, and we're going to move through these different phases, and the weird ones are going to come soon with like, oh, I got tested. I have the antibodies. I can go out. I'm going to wear my medallion that says, I got the antibodies tests. And I'm only hanging out with people who have the medallion. So like things are going to get weird in that way.
Yeah. You thought verified on Twitter was something.
Honestly, this is going to be, this has the potential to be very sort of like, I don't know. Maybe it'll be helpful for things. Like it'll create a new set of class. Right. But the other development that I think is going to be similar to this, and who knows where this goes. So on Monday, two different things happened almost simultaneously. And I imagine they spoke to each other. Andrew Cuomo, Democratic governor of New York, got together with the governor of New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Delaware and Rhode Island and Massachusetts. And they basically are going to send emissaries, if you will, a public health and an economic advisor to a regional working group, right? The chief of staff of the governor of each state will also be part of that group. And they're going to begin to design a reopening plan for these states. and presumably some type of timeline and some type of like metrics. This is when we open, when rate of infection hits this, or rate of death hits this, or when we have this amount of capacity in our ICUs. These will all be the metrics I presume that they will use, and more. And maybe they'll also have like some ceiling, some floors. Like if unemployment hits this, or if economic activity hits this, then we're going to have to move forward with that. They're going to come up with some type of algorithm. Later in that day, California, Washington, and Oregon also announced that they were going to do more or less the same thing as these northeastern states were going to do. This came in the wake of Donald Trump claiming that he had the power to force all of these states to open up. So you've got these sort of like these coastal states that are forming their own little regional compacts, if you will. Other states, and all these states are blue states. I mean, the governor of Massachusetts is a Republican, but like a Massachusetts Republican. And you're going to have the red states. You guys got like Ron DeSantis down in Florida saying that the WWE is a essential service. That WWE is wrestling, world wrestling. And you're going to see sort of like some type of divergence. We're going to see, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to have a secession or civil war type of situation, but I don't think that we're going to see anything that's sort of like polarized between the states and the federal government, probably since like the civil rights era, right? Except for in this instance, the president is on the side of the red states, as it were, and it has nothing to do with integration, but rather, coming out of these stay-at-home orders. So this is what is developing, and in part, it was a function of Donald Trump, I think, you know, getting in front of people and saying, like, I have the power to do this. Here is a clip of Donald Trump at his presser yesterday. And let's start with Caitlin Collins first, because I think Ryan Lizza followed it up after that. And this is in the White House press room. And Trump claims that he has total authority to reopen the country. Let's see if that's true.
A quick question about something you just said. You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this. It's not going to be necessary because the governors need us one way or the other, because ultimately it comes with the federal government. That being said, we're getting along very well with the governors, and I feel very certain that there won't be a problem. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state
I haven't asked anybody. Because I don't, you know why? Because I don't have to. Go ahead, please.
But who told you the president has the total authority?
Enough. Please.
Enough. All right. That was actually the second one. So let's go to Ryan Lizza. I mean, this is fascinating. There are examples of the federal governments forcing states to do stuff, but forcing it through leveraging things. Like back when I was 18, Ronald Reagan said, raise your drinking ages. And it wasn't specifically aimed at me. I don't think. Raise your drinking age to 21 or you're going to lose your federal highway funds. And every state did it. Connecticut was a little bit late. I know that because I went to college in Connecticut and got to drink for the first semester, a year or so that I was there. And Washington, D.C., because they didn't receive any federal funds, I believe, in terms of their highways. They were lagging behind, too, for quite some time. So there is a precedent for this type of thing. But that's all statutory. I don't know what Donald Trump is talking about when he can leverage governors, but here is when he tells Ryan Lizza from, I think this guy's from the New Yorker, why Donald Trump has total authority to reopen the country.
By your understanding of your authority vis-a-vis governors, just to be very specific. For instance, if a governor issued a stay-at-home
order... When you say my authority, the president's authority. Not mine, because it's not me. This is when somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
Total. Your authority is total.
It's total. It's total.
Your authority
and the governors
is total.
Know that.
So if a governor,
the governors know that. Now you have a couple of bands of excuse me, excuse me. You have a couple.
Could you rescind that order?
You have a couple of bands of Democrat governors, but they will agree to it. They will agree to it. But the authority of the president of the United States having to do with the subject we're talking about is total.
Wow. And he was questioned that before and afterwards by Caitlin Collins. And he said, well, we're going to write up papers on it. I guess presumably that's the Office of Legal Counsel is going to try and come up with some story as to how Donald Trump is total authority over the governors in terms of their issuing a state of emergency in their own states and requiring people to stay at home, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be fascinating to watch. And the interesting thing is that because the federal government has been such a disaster and failure in providing resources to the states, they don't have much leverage in holding things back. It's one of the problems with making your kid, you know, your the states independent in this respect. I know this with my own kids. Like I made the mistake of forcing them to learn how to feed themselves. And now I have no leverage with them. They can go and eat. I can't tell them to do stuff and threaten to withhold making food for them. So this is going to be interesting to see where this goes between the states and Donald Trump.
And John Yoo's office.
More like Bill Barr's pet project right here, I'd
right,
say.
Right. I mean,
what he's made for.
You was the guy from the Office of Legal Counsel who said that torture was okay. But Bill Barr, I mean, this is Bill Barr's sort of wet dream. How do I come up with, you know, expand on the, you know, unitary executive theory? Folks, often it's hard to find the time to sit down and read. Often there are things that you don't want to read. You don't want to invest too much time in something. You're interested, but you're not that interested. That's what the Blinkist means to me. For things that I'm like, you know, I'm sort of interested in that, but I'm not going to dedicate like 3 hours to reading that book. I don't have the time for that. Blinkist is an incredible app that's going to be your new secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, condenses them down into just 15 minutes. You can listen to the 15 minutes or you can read the 15 minutes. For me now, this is the way I go to bed. Well, this is the way I pretend to go to bed. I try and go to bed, I read one, and then I stay up for another 5 hours because I can't sleep anymore. But you can read or listen to it on your phone, on your tablet, on your web browser. Blinkist is made for busy people who want to get the main points of a book quickly. It's made for people who don't want to expend a lot of time to read stuff where you just want the key takeaways. You don't need to read the prose. With all due respect, I'm going to just do a hypothetical book. How to be better in general. I don't want to read the prose about that. I don't want to, you know, I just want to give me the key takeaways that I need to be better in general. So for me, I read about the 4-day work week. I've read about stuff like, socializing and stuff like that. I don't know how much better I've gotten at it. But there's been books, too, that I wasn't terribly excited to read, but I wanted to know the gist of it so I could see. And right now, I've got lined up in my queue Ultra Learning. I don't know much about that book. But if there's a way that I can sort of get like, you know, Matt Leckian powers to digest information, I will take it. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all for one low price. I'll tell you what else I'm thinking about. Rick Wilson wrote that Everything Trump Touches Dies book. Now, I wouldn't normally read a Never Trumper book, but I think he wrote that op-ed saying that, you know, as a Republican, I'm responsible too. And for that, I'm curious as to like, you know, what his top takeaways are. And if it's good, that's the whole point. If I have to invest in 15 minutes, I'll do it. And for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. You go to Blinkist.com/majority report. You try it for free for 7 days, and then you save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/majority report. Start your 7-day free trial. Save 25%. Sign up now at Blinkist.com/majority report. Also, oh, this is great. This couldn't have come at a better time for me. So Literati is the subscription book club. It makes it super easy to find unique and interesting books for your kids. They deliver great stories straight to your doorstep. Honestly, like within a week and a half of this whole event, a box full of books for Saul showed up. Literati knows that home deliveries will be crucial in meeting your needs for uplifting educational materials in the coming weeks, and it turns out months now. Reading books together help create a time of adventure and bonding for your family and has real educational benefits. Kids who read books have better vocabularies and longer attention spans. I mean, look, the whole thing of schooling at home is just completely overwhelming. And particularly when you started this way, it's not like we had any type of like, you know, time to ramp up for something like this, or that the kids had any experience that we could, this was all just so abrupt. So for me, the big thing is a couple of days a week, do some math problems every day of the week, read. Get read to and read. And each Literati book has 5 beautiful books. They're based on a theme. They contain exclusive original art and a personalized note for your kid. Kids love to get notes. And here's the thing. You only keep your favorites. You send back the rest for free. That means you're only paying for the books that your kids love. And I'll be honest with you. Saul was like, I said, are there any of these you're not interested in? No, I want them all. And I was like, all right. If you're happy with the book right now, I am... forget it. I mean, you got it. So we've been reading these books together. He started to read them a little bit. Sometimes we switch off. One page I do, one page he does. It's great. Getting new books is super exciting for kids. And right now, it couldn't have come, honestly, at a better time. So for a limited time, you can go to literati.com/majority for 25% off your first 2 orders. This is the best offer available anywhere, I should say. To get it, you have to go to literati.com. That's literati.com/majority for 25% off your first 2 orders. That's literati.com/majority. And lastly, folks, I've been harping on this for a long time. I did another project with my kids where I said, like, okay, I want you guys to anticipate 3 things that you're going to want to do and that everybody's going to want to do when this is all over. And the big thing that I got Saul to concede was he has to go to an eye doctor appointment because he had some problems with the eyes, and he's going to have to go to the dentist because people are missing all their dentist appointments. And there's going to be a rush. Everybody's going to want to go to the dentist. And it was my way of basically making it how important it was to him to brush his teeth. Now, a lot of our daily routines have gone haywire. For me, the one thing that grounds me every day, the one thing that I always count on, feels like I'm home, is brushing my teeth with my Quip. I know that sounds ridiculous. But for many of us, our daily routines have gone haywire. Quip is here to keep us on track by delivering the oral care essentials to you. You don't have to go out to get your toothbrush. You don't have to go out to get your toothpaste. Good health starts with good habits. Quip makes it easy for you to brush and floss better. The Quip electric toothbrush has timed sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended two-minute routine. There's even a size-down version for kids. Guess who has one of those? Salt Cedar. Paired with Quip's anti-cavity toothpaste, an eco-friendly, reliable floss, refillable, I should say, floss dispenser, you get all the ingredients your teeth actually need. Quip brush head, toothpaste, floss, refills, they're delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5 each. Shipping is free. You can join over 3 million happy customers using Quip, starting at $25. This is the toothbrush that I got for my sister, and her dentist said, tell your brother thank you from me, her dentist. If you go to getquip.com/majority right now, you get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/majority. That's getquip.com/majority. Quip, the good habits company. All right, folks. Like I say, you become a member of this program. You get the free of commercials as well. But I am very thankful for our sponsors as things are starting to dry up a little bit. All right, let's get back into what took place in Wisconsin. This was huge. Now, sadly, if you'll remember last year, I think around this time, the left, as it were, lost an election. The judge elections in Wisconsin are nonpartisan, theoretically. And we lost an election there. The Supreme Court in Wisconsin, I think it's now 5-4, is it? Or maybe it is 5-3? The bottom line is that Democrats won't have, or I should say the left, but it's really, let's be honest, folks, won't have an opportunity to tilt this court again until 2023. But this is huge. With 90% of the returns counted, Daniel Kelly lost to Jill Karofsky. She had just lost last time around. She was leading Kelly by more than 100,000 votes. That's 7 percentage points. This could have come in close to 8 or 9 percentage points. This is when we had Milwaukee with, I don't even know how to do the math, 5%, 4% of its normal polling places open. Everybody knows the story. The governor tried to shut down the election. The state Supreme Court kept it open. The federal Supreme Court said you cannot count absentee ballots after last Tuesday, even though they were still given till today or yesterday to announce the results. The Republicans entered the election with a 5-2 majority on the state Supreme Court. So they now have a 4-3. This will leave the liberals in the minority until 2023. The next time a conservative justice will face voters. But there is an ongoing voter roll purge fight at the court. One of the people, Kelly, had recused himself, and the conservative Justice Brian Hagerton sided with the voting rights group to halt the purge. So it was deadlocked at 3-3. So now with Karofsky on the case, theoretically, Democrats should be able to stop this purge of 200,000 voters in Wisconsin. I remind you, Wisconsin was lost by the Democrat in 2016, Hillary Clinton, by something like 11,000 votes. So this is pretty big. And Bernie Sanders staying on the ballot in Wisconsin is basically the main reason that people are giving for this outcome. Because otherwise, there is no contested primary and people aren't coming out for that reason. I also think a huge motivating factor was a lot of voters were just like, this is obscene that the Republicans are forcing us to vote to basically steal this election, and they lost it. Very difficult to divine from these numbers what's going to happen in the fall, because we just don't know. There was no competitive primary on the Republican side. I've seen multiple different interpretations of this. It's not bad news, let's put it that way, but it's hard to know how good of a news it is. Meanwhile, let's turn our attention to phase four. We're going to talk about Bernie endorsing Biden a little bit in the program, and then we'll talk more about it with Nomi when she comes on for the fun half. So phase four is being teed up, and the Democrats, I mean, Nancy Pelosi has still refused to figure out some way of voting remotely, which to me, a complete process question. But if the Democrats don't have an ability to vote remotely on a bill, then the House unlikely can pass something that is specific enough to compete with what's going on in the Senate. Maybe there is a way, I don't know. But to me, it signals that they're not going to take this fight all the way, which is a problem. But we'll see. HuffPost has a piece from yesterday saying Democrats are signal funding fight for expanded vote by mail elections. At the same time, Michael Grunwald, who is a staff writer for Politico magazine, not a particularly leftist type of guy, generally very empathetic, let's put it this way, with Democrats, was a bit of an Obama bot, at least in terms of, I think he would, I'm not talking in terms of intent, I'm talking in terms about output, in terms of like Obama and whatnot, just to be fair, but he even has a problem with what the Democrats are doing here. And that is, they're basically just rolling over. They stopped the fast tracking of the an additional $250 billion for the small business bailout, basically because they wanted more money for hospitals, states, and ordinary families. But here's the problem. Democrats are fighting for stuff that Trump already wants. Trump wants to shove as much money out the door as possible. And so they're going to give money to states. They're going to give money to families. I mean, they're still going to give much more to bigger businesses. But if you're going to use your leverage, you've got to basically say, we want to get stuff that you don't want. And that is stuff like voting protection in the fall. Why would you go for voting protection in the fall? It's because it's going to help you build a base of power going forward. The other thing you should be getting are automatic adjusters. What is it? What are they called? Stabilizers. Automatic economic stabilizers. Sometimes they called counter-cyclical stabilizers. Basically, it's this. We're giving everybody $1,200 now, or we're giving an extra $600 per week for 10 weeks for unemployment now. If unemployment stays above a certain level 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, a whole new wave of money kicks in automatically. Why do you want this? Because if Joe Biden or the Democrat wins the presidency in the fall, and let's say the Republicans take the Senate, you don't want the Republicans to be able to stop a Democratic president and a Democratic House from providing support to people. Why would they do this? Because it's worked for them every time they've done it in the past. Democrats need to play hardball with this stuff. This is not an ideological issue. It may have ideological roots in terms of why they're so reluctant to do it. Part of that ideology is that they believe that government should be functioning for a reason. But there are times when you need to basically say to call their bluff, because Donald Trump needs this more than you do. They now have a plan, House Democrats. This is a bill that's come from the House Democrats. Apparently Vox took a look at this, that they will provide laid off or furlough workers a way to stay on their health insurance plan at no extra cost to them, basically through increasing subsidies with the existing health insurance plan COBRA. If you've ever been on COBRA, you know what it is. You get fired and then there's this sort of like bridge insurance program for you. I don't even know what it stands for. Do you guys know what it stands for, COBRA? It is enormously expensive. After Air America went under, I went on COBRA, and I think it was like $2,000, maybe $1,800, $2,000 a month for bare bones coverage that, you know, I had a kid. I was worried about that. And it was incredibly expensive. It was like $16,000, $17,000 for 8 months.
It means
COBRA stands for Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's great. On average, it's $7,200 for an individual and more than $2,000 for a family. Yeah. That's basically what $24,000 I think I was paying a year annualized. The new bill is called the Worker Health Coverage Protection Act. And what it will do is basically subsidize COBRA so that your health insurance premium doesn't change. Now, this is an enormous amount of money that they're going to be spending on this. And what it shows you is that they can find the money that they would. And it also shows you that one of the problems we have in this country is that when we have a crisis like this, and granted, this doesn't happen that often, but who knows? We have no apparatus set up to provide health insurance to people. Brenda and I were talking about this before. The government could theoretically vote to expand Medicaid. Anybody who is, I don't know, at X amount of poverty, or anybody who has lost their job gets Medicaid. But the problem is expansion of Medicaid, I don't know this for sure, but based upon that Affordable Care Act case, where the Supreme Court said the federal government cannot force states to expand Medicaid, I don't know if there's a mechanism in which they can actually do this as it stands now. And, you know, COBRA, it's just like the federal government spending money and subsidizing basically private insurance. But it's far more expensive than it would be if we had a single payer health insurance program. So you can't institute that now. But if you're talking about the future and dealing with this stuff, you know, this is just revealed. And we're experiencing this across the board. We're experiencing it with all the support measures that we have for people. We have no infrastructure to take care of huge swaths of Americans in a crisis like this. That is why our economy is going to suffer much more than other economies across the world, because they had ready-made apparatus. They had all the buckets. They had all the tools that they needed to deal with this crisis. We have none of that. We're having to create these things from whole cloth. And it's a real problem. And it becomes much more obvious in a time of crisis. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but the Democrats are also saying that they want vote by mail elections. Let's hope so. But I want to, as we transition into the fun half, I want to just point out something. And maybe we'll put this up on the, well, let me do a couple more of these Trump videos. And then I'll circle back to this, because Kyle Kulinski tweeted out something that I think is a good departure point to talk about this. I'm not going to get too deep into the, you know, I refuse to vote for Biden thing, but I want to use, I want to at least make some comment on it, because it, you know, it's coming in the wake of Sanders and Biden, or Sanders endorsing Biden. But let's get back a little bit to Donald Trump, because we did see some reporters get a little bit more aggressive with Trump in there. Like, I am of two minds. Obviously, I think the reporters in there should be doing this, but I don't know that it's sufficient at the end of the day. But this is pretty good. This is a pretty good reckoning. There, the idea of reporters asking "such as" from Trump is important. Here is Paula Reid. She is stipulating, okay, you close down travel from China in late January, early February, I think it was. I think it was late January. What did you do between then and like March? Like, what did you take? Like, the time that supposedly bought you, even though we now know that the virus hit us from Europe. But what did that buy you in terms of time? And Trump at first, I don't think, got the question. And then when he did, he got really annoyed by it. And she was very, very persistent. Play this clip.
Time that you bought, the argument is that you bought yourself some time, you didn't use it to prepare hospitals, you didn't use it to ramp up testing.
It's so disgraceful the way you say that. Let me just listen. I just went over it.
In an unprecedented crisis,
nobody thought we should do it, and when I did it,
but what did you do with the time that you bought?
You know what we did? You know what we did? What do you do? What do you do when you have no case in the whole United States? You reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th.
The entire month of February.
Your
video has a complete gap.
On January 30th.
What did your administration do in February with the time that your travel ban bought you?
A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look. You know you're a fake. You know that your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake. And most of you, and not all of you, but the people are wise to you. That's why you have a lower approval rating than you've ever had before, times probably three. And when you ask me that question, let me ask you this. Why did Biden apologize? Why did he write a letter of apology? No, that's very important. Why did the Democrats think that I acted too quickly? You know why? Because they really thought that I acted too quickly. We have done a great job. Now, I could have kept it open. And I could have done what some countries are doing. They're getting beat up pretty badly. I could have kept it open. I thought of keeping it open because nobody's ever heard of closing down a country, let alone the United States of America. But if I would have done that, we would have had hundreds of thousands of people that would right now be dead. We've done this right, and we really have done this right. The problem is the press doesn't cover it the way it should be. Go ahead. One more question.
That was pretty stunning, I thought, in terms of her pursuit of that question. But, I mean, that really is the central question. He wants credit for shutting down travel from China, all well and good. Like I say, it ultimately came through Europe anyways. But what did he do after that? I mean, the whole story, remember they tried this for a couple of days. They said impeachment was the thing that completely threw us off our game. Well, they shut it down, travel from China, in the wake of impeachment. After that, they did nothing beyond nothing. Their whole campaign to stop coronavirus was to try and convince it was just the flu. Apparently, the virus did not listen. They sent people out to talk about it. Trump talked about it at his rallies. It's just the flu. Sean Hannity went on and on. It's just the flu. That was their plan. It failed. It failed big time. Meanwhile, over the weekend, the story was that Donald Trump was going around asking people, what do you think about Anthony Fauci? Should we get rid of him? Is he sort of a jerk? He went on Jake Tapper's show on Sunday. And Tapper kept pressing him as to who was giving you pushback when you were saying in these meetings in late January and in February, you know, we got to shut it down. We got to do this type of stuff. And you said you're getting pushback. Who'd you get pushback from? And he's like, well, I got pushback. You know, I got pushback. And apparently it got reported. Donald Trump was aware of it. He was upset. He was getting like somebody maybe went over to Fauci and said, please, please be nice to the president so that you don't get fired, so that we don't all die. You know, it's one of those jobbies. And so Fauci gets up in the press room and delivers a speech. And it's interesting. The Paul Reed asks him, are you doing this voluntarily or are you being forced to do it? Here's Fauci's response.
Time we should do it with the UK. And the answer was yes.
In this interview, you said there was pushback.
Yeah.
Where did that pushback come from?
No, it wasn't. That was the wrong choice of words. You know what it was? When people discuss, not necessarily in front of the president, when people discuss, they say, well, you know, this is going to have maybe a harmful effect on this or on that. So it was a poor choice of words. There wasn't anybody saying, no, you shouldn't do that.
Are you doing this voluntarily or did
no,
the president?
No, I'm doing it. Everything I do is voluntarily. Please don't even imply that.
Okay.
So, Mr. President,
and so there's Fauci. And honestly, I mean, this guy deserves a medal of diplomacy or something. I think I don't think he was forced at all to go up and say that. I think he realized that he needs to go up and say that to assuage that big fat baby's feelings next to him. Because otherwise he's going to get fired. And, you know, like we say every day, God knows who Donald Trump is going to put in that position. Someone who's basically going to come in and say, yeah, no, it's over. Everybody go out. Don't worry about it. And so Fauci is there realizing like, I've got to be more disciplined. I cannot go on these television shows and reveal anything about any of the reality that has gone on here because I endanger. I don't think he cares about his job. I think he feels like if I lose my job, I'm endangering the lives of thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people. And that's true. I mean, can you imagine? Can you guys even imagine the pressure on that dude?
No, I can't.
Honestly, like that's what he must think. And he's probably right. If he loses his job, there are thousands of lives in the balance.
Well, that's why I mean, and on the one hand, we were congratulating that reporter for, you know, her tough questioning of Trump, but she was also the same reporter that asked that question of Fauci. I think we should abstain from such questions.
No,
and think of the larger picture this time.
I think the press has to do that, but I think he answered it quite well, which was basically, yeah, please don't do that. Like, please don't even go there. Please don't even imply that, because now I have to do even more of a tap dance for this fat, you know, baby over here, this big fat baby. I do not envy that dude. I'm not in a perfect situation here. I don't think anybody is, but that guy, boy. All right, let's play one more clip and then we'll go to the fun half. This is the same dynamic. This is the same dynamic. Fauci is basically being held hostage. Here's the Florida Surgeon General. He's at a public meeting. Remember, Ron DeSantis would kept the beaches open for God knows how long. I am quite convinced that we're going to hear that, like, there are outbreaks all over the country as a function of all these kids partying for spring break. But DeSantis is going to be one of these guys who reopens like within weeks. Trump is going to say it. DeSantis is going to be one of the first guys who does it. And here is Florida Surgeon General in a meeting. He is talking about, we're going to need to do social distancing until a vaccine is available. And they literally escort him out of the meeting mid-meeting. Check this out.
We're going to have COVID in the environment, and this is a tough virus. We're going to have to practice these measures so that we are all protected.
Do you see obviously a vaccine could be the time frame we're looking at?
Yeah, based upon what has been reported, probably a year, if not longer, is what some individuals have talked about.
Are there any questions for Secretary Mayhew? I know she's got to run, Secretary. Is there any questions for Secretary?
I got one of residents or staff in the long-term care facility after Miami-Dade, okay. Broward, and Palm Beach. Okay. Then you've got Lehigh. Then you've got even smaller Clay County and Suwannee County.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't have said social distancing. Time for me to go. Did you like that? How they said, does anybody have any questions for her over here? Meanwhile, we'll send our staffer over to basically tell the Surgeon General his time is up. That's the last time you'll see him in public. Honestly, it's like a rolling, Americanized version of the Chernobyl series.
It's nice to have Ron DeSantis' name on that in that frame of that picture,
right,
too.
Right? Unbelievable. I mean, and on top of all this, Rick Scott, as governor, wanted to keep the unemployment numbers artificially low. So he added all of these obstacles that it took to get unemployment. I mean, that's the way these states do it. When they want to keep people off of unemployment insurance, they don't actually say like, oh, we're going to limit the number of people who are on it. What they do is they say, okay, here's how you get unemployment insurance. You call, but you need to call between the hours of 10:15 and 10:45 a.m. on Tuesdays. And you need to call. You need to let the phone ring twice and then hang up and then call again. And then we will answer your call. And then at that point, you need to send us all forms in triplicate. And you need to do this by fax. You can't do it by email. They just create all these administrative hurdles and require all these documents that make it very, very difficult. It's basically the same way they do this, like, you know, with customer service for, a corporation. Oh, you want to cancel your account? Oh, we'll get to that. You just have to call this number and then be on hold for an hour and a half and we'll cancel it for you. Florida is a crap show. All right, with that said, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half. Just a reminder, your support is what makes this show possible. If you have the financial means to become a member, please do so. Get the second half free. You get the first half commercial free, and you help other people who want memberships but don't have the means to do so at this time. Join themajorityreport.com. Also, sign up for the AM Quickie. It's all available on the app, folks. And now we have push notifications. We can watch it live on video. We got video that we push out on there. Majorityapp.com. Just a heads up, tomorrow we're doing a really interesting interview. There'll be no fun half tomorrow, just the first half of the program. Everybody's going to take a little bit of a break. This was supposed to be our vacation. What are you going to do? Hopefully we can smooth out some frayed edges, as it were. In the meantime, check out TMBS. That will be live tonight at YouTube.com, The Michael Brooks Show, also Patreon.com, TMBS. And Noma Key Const is going to join me in the fun half. Check out her program, YouTube.com, The Noma Key, or Noma Key Const on YouTube, and Patreon.com, The Noma Key Show. And check out The Intifada. Jamie's got some new episodes up. Patreon.com, The Antifada. Matt.
Yeah, triumphant first literary hangover stream last night. I played Doom Eternal for about an hour and a half.
What has that got to do with literary anything?
Well, I talked for very briefly about Foucault and how he talks about the plague town and discipline and punish. So I did crowbar a little bit of that in there, but the rest of it was, you know, shotgun rounds and demons and things like that. But I was actually playing on a pretty high difficulty level and, you know, did okay. I stick my tongue out a lot, it turns out, when I
video game. I do that too. Yeah, I do that too when I'm concentrating. That's like Michael Jordan does.
Exactly. That's how I look at it too. So yeah, patreon.com/literary hangover, folks. I'll probably Twitch stream tomorrow afternoon. So
are people going to file complaints with Twitch since they're not getting enough of literary? You gotta be careful with that.
Oh, I don't think so. I think there'll be plenty of literary stuff. I'm going to play a game called A Plague Tale while Alex and Grace discuss Daniel Defoe's Plague Journal, I think it's called, from the 1600s. So we are going to get literary on it, but for other times I'll just be playing NBA 2K and BSing with the people in the chat. So it's fun. Patreon.com/literary hangover if you want the links to those.
Unbelievable. All right, quick break. When we come back, Miki Kantz will be with us.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Rand Paul.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
This guy might be a Nazi.
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
understand. I got to get off.
No worries. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up.
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.